On January 29th, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., there will be a forum here at LCUUC. The subject is Black Lives Matter, what it is and what it is not, and why we care. Now more than ever, this movement is important. The forum will be led by Anne Heidkamp, justice builder from UU Church West. This workshop will enhance our understanding of the Black Lives Matter movement, in addition to main questions above. We will explore a number of issues, including in what ways do we commit subtle actions of racism? How do we use language and action that can be unintentionally offensive to people of color? What does it mean to be anti-racist versus just non-racist? Where are we now as a country in terms of racism? And what can we do now? Social Justice will provide a soup lunch before the forum. Please sign up in the social hall or by calling or emailing Brittany. Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics you may have with you here today as we begin our service. Thank you.
This is a call to the living, to those who refuse to make peace with evil or with the suffering and the waste of the world. This is a call to the human, not to the perfect, to those who know their own prejudices, who have no intention of becoming prisoners in their own limitations. This is a call to those who remember the dreams of their youth, who know what it means to share food and shelter, the care for children and those who are troubled. This is a call to the never-ending spirit of humanity, its essential decency and integrity, its unending capacity to suffer and endure, to face death and destruction and to rise again, and to build up from the ruins of any life. This is the greatest call of all, the call to faith in people. May we always have that faith. So come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your nearby neighbors.
We light this chalice to affirm life rather than deny it, to seek the illicit, the possibilities of life, not flee from it, to endeavor to establish the conditions of satisfactory life for all, not merely for the few. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing our opening hymn, number 311, Let It Be a Dance. Welcome. My name is Heidi Peterson, and I will be your worship associate for this glorious morning service. Be ye a lover, a fighter, a dreamer, or even a realist, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you are there, find out more about our church. We are delighted that you have chosen to be here to bless, respect, and love with us today.
One of the ways that we care for our community is by contributing to the local food pantries. And we do this financially, and we do this by collecting non-perishable food items each week, which we then donate. So if you have food items to share, please bring them forward or ask a child to bring them forward for you and put them in the basket up here. And I invite all the children to stay up front for a story with our wonderful worship associate, Heidi. And a few spare microphones.
No. Yes. So, our book today is Spaghetti in a Hot Dog Bun, Having the Courage to Be Who You Are. The delicious smell of breakfast filled the air as Lucy's grandpa handed her a plate. Lucy smeared ketchup on her toast. She turned to her grandpa and said, "Papa Gino, Harriet said she's never heard of ketchup on toast. Her family uses butter and jelly." "It's okay. Not everybody likes the same thing, Lucy. It doesn't mean one person is right or wrong. We're all different. What a boring world it would be if we were all exactly alike. Do you remember what's really important?" Papa Gino asked. "Yes, Papa. Even if we are different from others on the outside, we all have a heart with feelings on the inside." "That's my girl. Remember, when you treat others with love and kindness, you are doing the right thing," Papa Gino replied. On the school bus, Lucy and her friend Harriet pulled out some paper and crayons. Sitting across from them was Ralph. As usual, Ralph sat down. Ralph sat alone, staring out the window. He would look over at them time to time, and he'd roll his eyes. In the classroom, Lucy sat down near the teacher. Ralph carelessly hurried over and tripped on Lucy's foot. Before long, he was glaring at her. Ralph whispered, "Woof, I can't see the book with this poodle in front of me." Lucy could hear him giggling behind her. "Oh no, why did it have to be me?" she wondered. During lunch, Harriet shouted one of her silly jokes over the other children's voices. As the girls ate, their bellies shook with laughter. Across the table, Ralph hollered, "Yuck! That's the disgusting smell. Whoever heard of eating spaghetti in a hot dog bun?" Tony and the other children at the table turned away from Ralph, shaking their heads. Ralph continued, "Poor little Lucy with her hair so poofy." Tears filled Lucy's eyes, and she began to cry. On the way home, Lucy thought about what had happened. "Maybe Ralph is mean to me because he thinks being different is bad. I wish he would stop teasing me." Slowly, Lucy stepped off the bus. "How was your day?" Papa Gino asked. "Fine," she mumbled. Papa reached over and pulled a crayon out of her hair. "How did this happen?" he asked. Lucy did not say a word. That night, as Papa Gino tucked Lucy into bed, he asked, "Is everything all right at school?" Lucy rolled over. He sat down and whispered, "Always remember, if something's not right, we can work on fixing it together. It's not that easy, thought Lucy. How do I stop Ralph from teasing me? How can he have a heart and be so mean? Lucy had a hard time falling asleep, worrying what would happen tomorrow. The following day, Lucy was surprised to find Ralph leaving her alone until Lucy took the bag Ralph handed her. Inside were dog bones with a note that read, "Lucy, Lucy, eat stinky food that puts us in a big bad mood. Lucy, Lucy's hair shaped like a cone. Here's a treat for you, a yummy dog bone." The beating of Lucy's heart was so loud, she knew everyone around her could hear it. "Stop! It hurts my feelings when you do this, Ralph," Lucy said. "Please stop." Ralph turned and walked away. It was recess time, and Lucy played alone. She didn't want to tell her teacher about Ralph. She was afraid of being a tattletale. Lucy wished Papa Gino was there to help. "What should I do?" she asked herself over and over. The bell rang as recess ended. "Help!" cried a child off in the distance, Tony yelled. "Ralph got himself stuck at the top of the monkey bars. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen." "This is my chance. I'll go tell Ralph how mean he really is. M-E-A-N, mean." Lucy stomped off toward the monkey bars. When she reached Ralph, Lucy paused. She looked him in the eye and said, "What you did was so mean." Standing before Ralph, Lucy could hear her papa's words. Ralph did have a heart with feelings. In that moment, Lucy decided what she would do. She saw tears in Ralph's eyes. He hesitated to move and whispered, "I'm scared." Lucy reached out and said, "Here, take my hand." And she helped him down. The two walked back to the classroom without saying a word. As the bus pulled up to Lucy's stop, Ralph reached over and handed her a picture. Lucy was amazed by what she saw. "Thanks," she muttered softly. After she got off the bus, Lucy smiled and said, "Papa, there's this boy Ralph who is really mean to me. Today, he was in trouble, and I helped him." Papa Gino hugged Lucy and replied, "That took a lot of courage. It wasn't the easiest thing to do. You chose to treat others the way you want to be treated. I am so proud of you, Lucy." As they walked home, she asked him what was for dinner. When Papa Gino said spaghetti, Lucy knew immediately what she would have for lunch the next day. Her favorite sandwich, spaghetti and a hot dog bun. The end.
Thank you all for listening to the story this morning. Could I have my lantern bearer? And I'm going to give you this. May the light and love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. And if you will lead the kids to their classroom, and if you all will help me sing the children out. Song's called "For You Shall Go Out." Words are in your order of service.
sister was trying to help a new member
decide how much to give to the church. And he asked the new member, who happened to own a very tiny farm, "Well, if you had 100,000 sheep, would you give 50,000 of them to the church?" And the new member said, "Well, you know I would do that. Absolutely. Of course I would. 50,000 sheep. You bet. If I had them, I'd give them to you." And the minister said, "And if you had 50,000 cows, would you give 25,000 of them to the church?" And the new member said, "Oh, sure, absolutely. If I had 50,000 cows, I would certainly give 25,000 of them to the church." And then the minister said, "And what if you had 2 pigs? Would you give one of them to the church?" And the new member said, "Hey, that's not fair. You know, I really do have 2 pigs. Now, I'm not asking for 50,000 sheep, but any donations of ham, sausage, or bacon would be well received. Donations of livestock may be tied to the rail outside, and the morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for these gifts and for everything that you all do for the life and the work of this community. One of the reasons that we do come together in community is to share with each other. We share our laughter and our tears, and we do this in several ways. Before the service, you can always come to the candle table and light a candle for yourself silently. But during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate lights candles for us. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Good morning. This is Jim, a candle of grateful joy. Today I celebrate 11 years clean and sober and 10 years as a member of this church, and I wouldn't have one without the other.
With apologies for checking my phone during the service. A couple minutes ago, I got a text message from my stepmother with a picture of my dad in the hospital, proudly wearing his foam cheese head, which is particularly appropriate because he just had brain surgery to remove a stage 3 tumor. But he's 80 years old and strong, and so far the prognosis is really good.
Can We light a candle of joy for the more than 3 million marchers that were in our streets yesterday with almost no incidents of violence. According to the police, in one area, there were only 4 police calls all day for over 100,000 marchers. All 4 calls were for ambulances, for someone who'd gotten ill.
Hi, this is Paula, a candle of joy and gratefulness to everyone for your good wishes related to Greg and his recovery. He's back.
This is Mike. Getting a little joy that our daughter Nicole is both able to attend both the inauguration and the march the following day in Washington.
Okay. And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not named aloud here today.
Often, people say that they love coming to a place with so many like-minded people. I know just what they're getting at, and I know that they aren't getting it quite right. I don't want to be with a bunch of people who think just like me. I want to be in a beloved community where I don't have to think like everyone else to be loved, to be eligible for salvation. I want to be with people who value compassion, justice, love, and truth, though they have different thoughts and opinions about all sorts of things. I want to be with independent-minded people of good heart. I want to be with people who have many names and no name at all for their God. I want to be with people who see me in my goodness and dignity, who also see my failings and foibles, and who still love me. I want to be with people who feel their interconnection with all existence and let it guide their footfalls upon the earth. I want to be with people who see life as a paradox and don't always rush to resolve it. I want to be with people who are willing to walk the tightrope that is life and who will hold my hand as I walk mine. I want to be with people who let church call them into a different way of being in the world. I want to be with people who support, encourage, and even challenge each other to higher and more ethical living. I want to be with people who inspire one another to follow the call of the Spirit. I want to be with people who covenant to be honest, engaged, and kind, who strive to keep their promises and hold me to the promises I make. I want to be with people who give of themselves, who share their hearts and minds and gifts. I want to be with people who know that human community is often warm and generous, sometimes challenging, and almost always a grand adventure. In short, I want to be with people like you. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
control. So many hurts that happen every day. So many heartaches that pierce the soul. So much pain that won't ever go away. How do we make it better? How do we make it through? What can we do when there's nothing we can do? We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. Nobody really wants to fight. Nobody really wants to go to war. If everyone wants to make things right, then what are we always fighting for? Does nobody want to see it? Does nobody understand? The power to heal is right here in our hands. Can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. And it's not enough to talk about it, not enough to sing a song. We must walk the walk about it, you and I, do or die, we've got to try to get along. We can be kind, we can take care of each other, we can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. And maybe we'll find true peace of mind if we always remember we can be
ever since puberty, I have believed in the value of two things, kindness and clear thinking. At first, these two remained more or less distinct. When I felt triumphant, I believed most in clear thinking. And in the opposite mood, I believed most in kindness. Gradually, the two have come more and more together in my feelings. I find that much unclear thought exists as an excuse for cruelty, and that much cruelty is prompted by superstitious beliefs. Three passions have governed my life: the longings for love, the search for knowledge, and unbearable pity for the suffering of humankind. Love brings ecstasy and relieves loneliness. In the union of love, I have seen, in a mystic miniature, the prefiguring vision of the heavens that saints and poets have imagined. With equal passion, I have sought knowledge. I have wished to understand the hearts of people. I have wished to know why the stars shine. Love and knowledge led upwards to the heavens, but always pity brought me back to earth. Cries of pain reverberated in my heart, of children in famine, of victims tortured, and of old people left helpless. I long to alleviate the evil, but I cannot, and I too suffer. This has been my life. I found it worth living. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 1024, When the Spirit Says Do.
Spirit says do. says do. Spirit 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 says do.
So atheism, agnosticism, ethical culture, these are a lot of words, and people toss them around in a lot of ways. And I've heard even folks who are atheist, agnostic, ethical culture members go, you know, I really don't know exactly how this works. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about being kind. I love the American illusionist and comedian Penn Jillette. Surprise, I like a comedian. And some of you may know his work. He's partnered with a guy named Raymond Teller, who goes by Teller. They are Penn and Teller. Teller is the silent one. Penn is the very mouthy one. And he does illusions and magic, and he does comedy. But what he also does, and he does quite a bit, is to talk about some very serious things. And one of those things is his stance as an atheist. In 2005, he did an amazing interview and podcast, which you can listen to if you search on it. It's called There Is No God. And Penn said this, I'm beyond atheism. Atheism is not believing in God. Not believing in God is easy. You can't prove a negative, so there's no work to do. I'm saying, this I believe. There is no God. And believing that there's no God means I can't be forgiven, except by kindness and faulty memories. And that's good. It makes me want to be more thoughtful. I have to treat people right the first time around. And he goes on to say, I can read ideas from all different people, from all different cultures, and without God, we can agree on reality. And I can keep learning where I'm wrong. He said, we can keep adjusting so we can really communicate. I don't travel in circles where people say, I have faith, I believe this with my heart, and nothing you say can shake my faith. That's just a long-winded religious way to say, oh, shut up. A few years later, in 2011, he did a much more elaborate set of conversations about this, and they're actually called God Knows, Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales. And I highly recommend it. They're excellent reads, just reading through this. And he said something that really stuck by me. He said, if every trace of every single religion were wiped out and nothing were passed on, it could not be recreated the same way again. There might be something else that grows up in its place, another religion or another kind of religion. But not that exact same thing. Not UUism, not Catholicism, not Lutheranism, not Buddhism. If you wiped it all out, you could not recreate it beginning again at the beginning without knowledge of it. But if science were wiped out, he said, it would still be true. And someone would find out a way to figure it all out again. And then he said something that really kicked me. He said, the question I get asked by religious people all the time is, without God, what's there to stop me from raping all that I want? And my answer is, I do rape all that I want. And the amount I want is zero. And I murder all that I want. He said, you know, without God, I murder. I murder all that I want. And the amount that I want is zero. And the fact that these people, these religious people, think that if they didn't have this person up in the sky watching them every minute, if they didn't have that, that they would go on killing, raping rampages, Penn says, that is the most self-damning thing about religion I can possibly imagine. And that has always stuck with me since I first heard that. Penn's form of atheism, according to him, is a religious position. He's very clear on that. It's a statement of belief. I believe there is no God. There is no supernatural deity. This is not the same, though it is very close, to secular atheism. Groups like the American Atheist Society, which some of you may be familiar with, they are very clear on their webpage and in their materials. All they can agree on is one thing. Can you guess what it is? We do not believe in a God. The exact opposite of what Penn is saying. They're saying that's the only thing we can say. There is no supernatural. We say there is no supernatural. This is not a religious position of any kind, they will tell you very clearly. So two kinds of atheism. Two different approaches to what it means not to believe in a supernatural being of any kind. So then I get the question, well, is this the same as humanism? Well, no. And sometimes yes. The American Humanist Association has a great tagline, and it says, good without God. Good without God. According to their materials, they say humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism or other supernatural belief, affirms our ability and responsibility, here's a big one, to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. Humanism is a religious position, according to them. If you agree with that, but you like religious ritual, or believe in a type of joint spirit of humanity, or maybe greater human divinity, you could call yourself a religious humanist. A secular humanist might clarify their belief to center the idea that humanity is capable of morality and self-fulfillment without belief in God. These are all this close together, but there are gaps in between them. And of course, being UU, we usually create something of our own that slides right into the gap. So you see a range here. Atheism and humanism can work together or apart, and they rely on your lack of a belief in the supernatural, in supernatural being or beings, and your ideas about people. Are we called by natural inclination to be good and to work well together? At its purest, atheism makes no statement on this. It has no position on good or kindness. At its purest, it says we can only say one thing, no God, no supernatural. At its purest, humanism does make a statement about good. Humanism says people are either naturally drawn to good or at least capable of aspiring to do greater good. So now that you're totally and completely confused, I'm going to throw another layer onto the cake here. Agnosticism. Has anybody in the room ever heard that the definition of agnosticism is, I don't know if there is a God or not? Anybody heard that? All right. That's the definition you typically hear. Like it's a halfway clutch position between atheist and theist. You got to go through agnostic first. I tend to go in reverse and get confused at that point. And it's some sort of cosmic, I don't know, a religious belief of some kind that says, well, maybe, maybe not. And this isn't exactly right. Agnosticism is fascinating because it isn't a religious position per se. It's an approach to understanding how belief works. So there was a man named William Rowe, and he was a philosopher. And he said, agnosticism is the view that human reason, the human mind, is incapable of providing sufficient rational grounds to justify either the belief that God exists or the belief that God doesn't exist. So atheism isn't the belief itself. It's the belief that we can't have a belief. Thomas Huxley, who was a writer, said agnosticism is of the essence of science. Okay. Let's think about this. It simply means that a man shall not say he knows or believes that which he has no scientific ground for professing to know or believe. Consequently, agnosticism puts aside not only the greater part of popular theology, but also anti-theology. It isn't, I don't know if there's a God. It's, I don't know if there's a God, and I don't know and can't claim that there isn't a God. I can't make even an approach to this. There's no scientific way to tell. On the whole, he says, the bosh of heterodoxy is more offensive to me than that of orthodoxy, because heterodoxy professes to be guided by reason and science, and orthodoxy does not. This is a new idea. For all the folks who say, well, believing in God is ridiculous, religious nonsense, I can say with certainty there is no God, Huxley would say, oh, yeah, right. You have no more scientific evidence that there isn't a God than I do that there is. So stop pretending you can make a statement on this. He was a big hit at parties. So, not that I believe or I don't believe, but I can't make a statement. I cannot responsibly form an opinion. And stirred into this big stew of beliefs, you have one more similar position. Ethical culture. And this is the one that perhaps runs most parallel with Unitarian Universalism. And in fact, we have ethical culturists within lots of our congregations, just as we do atheists and agnostics. The ethical culture movement started in London, 1793, a little place called South Place Chapel. It was a Unitarian church. And a group of folks there started looking at, do we really have to have theology to have morality? And being Unitarians, they discussed this, and they'd form a group, and then they'd discuss it more, and then they'd form another group, and the groups would form and reform and unform, and they did a lot of good work. Their last group kind of died off. And then a young rabbinical trainee, young rabbi named Felix Adler from New York, his father was also a rabbi. Young Felix went to Germany and got exposed to the work of Immanuel Kant and then to Neo-Kantian philosophy. And he absolutely loved this idea that the Neo-Kantians shaped, that no one could prove or disprove life after death. No one could prove or disprove God. And he was specifically excited by the idea that morality could exist without theology. Same thing those original arguments had been based on. And so he went back to New York, and he was very excited after his stay in Germany, and he got up in front of his congregation, and he preached an hour-long sermon based on this marvelous revelation he'd had, and guess what happened? They fired him. That was the last sermon he ever gave as a rabbi. He went to work for Cornell University, and a year later he said, "I'm not giving up." And he gave another sermon publicly, and that sermon helped to found the New York Society for Ethical Culture, which has stuck. It was the first of its kind. Within 6 years, there were five more. They've continued to spread. And they've adopted a set of principles not unlike our own and which are very much in line with our own. Morality is independent of theology. New moral problems have arisen in the modern industrial society which have not been adequately dealt with by the world's religions. Humans have a duty to engage in philanthropy in the advancement of morality. Self-reform should go in lockstep with social reform. Ethical societies should be governed by the consent of the governed rather than by a ruler or monarch. And educating the young is the most important aim. Colin Campbell says they replaced religion with a moral code derived from philosophy and set as their goal the aim to disentangle moral ideas from religious doctrine, metaphysical system, and ethical theory, and to make those moral codes an independent force in personal life and social relation. So if for yourself you have no belief in a supernatural external deity or any form of supernatural creation, one of these perspectives may speak to you. There are others. These are some large ones. But Penn Jillette's atheism and secular and religious humanism and ethical culture, they all have one thing in common: morality. They say to us, we can be kind. And not just we can be, that we are called as humans to a sense of morality, a sense of respect for other humans. Even if it's only out of enlightened self-interest, and all of these have explored that idea at various times, that as tribal animals we recognize we have to be in the same spaces and killing each other is bad, even if it's only out of that enlightened self-interest, we have to find ways to work together. We have to be kind. And that speaks to me pretty deeply right now. Right now, that says to me that when we pull away all the arguments over religion and country, and when we throw away political party and class and color, when we remove the extraneous and the combative, when we remove religion, we're called to become our own moral compass. And it says that maybe, just maybe, without all the things that separate us, that we put so much importance on, maybe humanity really does bend toward good. It tells me that there's hope, not in a life hereafter, but in a life right now, the one we're standing in. And if we're willing to do the work, we come pre-equipped to engage in some radical love for ourselves and our neighbor. We're not fighting our nature when we try to find ways to work together. It tells me that peace begins in me believing in my deepest soul, in the words of Anne Frank, "Despite everything, I believe that people are really good at heart." Humanity is a fantastic and fabulous creation, and some of us may get lost. And some of us may behave in terrible ways, not arguing that. But at our core, we are not malignant. And we are called to be good to one another by our very nature, to look for that good in others, to search out the commonalities that let us sit down together, even if it's only for a little while. Maybe we can't agree. Maybe our beliefs are so different. But can we try? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can we at least understand what the other one's beliefs are? We don't have to agree with acts of oppression or violence, actions of hatred. And we work against those things. We can work against them always, but still look for the places. Where can we talk? Where are the cracks that let the light in? We're both human. It's an absolute lowest common denominator. And no, we can't reduce the world down to that. It's too low. But it gives us a place to try. And I want to be clear. You are called to rise up and stand up and walk up and fight for what you believe to be right and true. Called to never give an inch to anything that you find violates your principles. And at the same time, I charge you to remember we can be kind. It's our nature. We can refuse to participate in the work of evil, and we can search endlessly for ways to find to work together. We don't need an external God to remind us of who we are, though some of us do believe in one. We are human, and it is enough. We can be kind. Amen. I think we have just a minute for a polylogue. If anyone has a comment they would like to make, one of the ushers can bring you a microphone. You got one over here, Jim?
This is Liz. I didn't cry the first 50 years of my life. Now I don't seem to be able to say anything without, so excuse me. I suffer from mental illness, and I happen to notice that there's a lot of people kind of really suffering, and I know I'm still doing okay because I can still get to humor. Big Bang Theory episode cracked me up the other day, you know, and I can still find hope. Look up what Elon Musk's groups are up to and what the next thing, you know, he's going to do is gives me hope. But if you know anybody out there that might be struggling and struggles anyway, if they can't find hope or humor anymore, can you check on them and see what you can do for them? That's all. I just want to put... Thank
you. This is Gus. Thank you very much, Amy. That was, you hit the nail on the head with this one. I couldn't have said any of it better myself, even though I like to think I could. But you know me. One of the things I want to pull out from your sermon, although you did say this in so many words, is the kindness and my relationship with the other person, I get engaged with them as a face. That is to say, a real person, living person behind the eyes or inside or whatever you want to call it. The face of the other person is not a phenomenon. It's not an object. It's a person, and what I'm getting from the other person in terms of their speech to me, what they're telling me and all that, is a trace that leads me away from the phenomenal world into the world of ethics, which is why Emmanuel Levinas says that the goodness lies in the face of the other person.
Yeah. Hi, this is John. Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing those subtle distinctions, some subtle anyway, of the different forms of atheism and agnosticism, and it really resonated with me about, in the end, it gets down to kindness. So I thank you very much. Thank you.
This is Kristen. Your sermon and Facebook post this morning reminded me of hearing Reverend Nate Walker speak last summer at GA, and I read his book, Cultivating Empathy. I think it's the second line is something about the inherent worth and dignity of all people. And he talks about his experience reaching out and opening himself to listening to others who would normally be very uncomfortable for probably a lot of us. And a concept called the moral imagination. So that really inspired me, and I've been thinking a lot about that and kind of drawn to that. And recently this week with some social media banter that I got myself involved with, unfortunately, I decided to open myself up to inviting people for coffee. And I got three takers of people that I very much wanted to turn away from and isolate myself from. So wish me luck.
I will.
I'm just going to go to listen and really try to open my heart and see what happens.
Thank you. Hi, this is Barb. Thank you so much, Amy. This last week has been traumatic for our country. And I just have to remind myself and all of us, there's no reason ever to not be kind.
So going off of that last note, in my school, in this past week with the inauguration and everything, one of the main things that I heard was that, and not wanting to get political here, but that somebody should be assassinated before he would get inaugurated. And I think it was really easy for people to go along with that idea because in their standing, they saw this figure as somebody being against kindness and against tolerance, so they wanted to get rid of that. But at the same time, by saying that they wanted somebody to get assassinated, they were stooping to his level. So hearing this and what you said was clarifying and like reassuring that you can solve things with kindness, and every life is precious, no matter what comes out of their mouth or their actions. Yeah, and I think more people should remember that, and especially the young should keep that in mind.
Yes, thank you, Amy. I truly enjoyed that. And as a humanistic religious naturalist, which I got through much study on what to call myself, but it's just, I mean, there is not a religion or somewhat major religion that doesn't have the golden rule,
right?
The do unto others, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you all for commenting.
May the love of humanity burn in our hearts. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 1021, Lean on Me.
Thank you.
human kindness has never weakened the stamina or softened the fiber of a free people. A nation does not have to be cruel to be tough. Go out and be kind. Peace, and may it be so.
I think maybe I would have been next to you.